Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and today I'm making my way through my pilgrimage. I continue to make a journey, and today you get to hear a special story of an encounter with somebody who, believe it or not, comes from Western Washington and has had overlapped with my life of faith in ministry as she's a Catholic. And so I hope and pray that you're going to enjoy the beautiful way that God establishes this encounter, and that the way that the conversation unfolded, that will be a blessing to you. So today, that's what's going to happen, is you're going to hear more about that story. Okay, back in 1 minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back. Let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the gift of our lives and for the gift of our faith and the way that you do connect us with others on the journey. I pray, Lord, that those that we meet, that we'd be a source of support and encouragement and, yes, even accountability as we live our lives. And Lord, I thank you for all the ways that you have blessed Western Washington with so many great gifts, especially today. I pray for the gift of Sacred Heart Radio, that it would continue to grow and flourish to touch the hearts and minds of many. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's dive right in with today's reflection.
Hey there. Welcome to my reflection on day 24. I'm in my fourth week now here on the Camino, and it's a recovery day because of what happened to me yesterday, hurting my ankle, and there's just no way I was going to walk today. And so it became a great day to take stock, right? So I'm going to just take stock with you and then also just share with you a couple of other things that just unfolded over the course of the day. Kind of having to just stay put and rest. It took me a little while to get to that space, right? I had breakfast in the hotel where I was at. They didn't have room for me, so I had to move. And so I had breakfast that day. And remember now, I'm giving up potatoes. And so I don't want to have those what they call tortillas. And so I brought my bacon and eggs inside my Gatorade bottle. They gave me a bowl, heated it up. And that was my breakfast, the bacon and eggs I had made the day before. So that was pretty cool. After getting myself settled, I wandered over to the other hotel, and what a mercy. When they met me, they're like, gosh, your ankle's really hurting. Do you want some ice? And it was just like heaven. And then it was the upper reaches of heaven when I went to my room, and there was a bathtub there. And so I was able over the course of the day to vary between putting my foot in really hot water and icing it, hot water, icing, and resting. I was eventually able to get Advil as well, ibuprofen. Interestingly, I hobbled over to the supermarket and I said, no, we don't sell medicine here. You got to go across to the pharmacy. I'm like, what? How weird is that? You can't even buy like Tylenol or ibuprofen or Advil or whatever in a grocery store. You've got to go to a pharmacy and they have it behind the counter. That was the funny learning right there. Anywho, my back and forth, I had to go back and forth a couple of times to pick up the what I needed. And as I did so, and after all the icing and resting and heating and icing, it's like, hey, you know what? I actually can hike tomorrow. I can do this. I don't need a second recovery day. And so I made the decision to do that. But before I did that, I took some time to evaluate. And it's important to evaluate, brothers and sisters, right? So all of our lives is a Camino, is a journey that we're taking from our starting point to our end point. You can measure how you're doing on the way. Like, how am I doing based on where I started, and how am I doing based on where I want to go? And so with all this time just lying around, resting my ankle, I was like, wait a minute, let me map out the rest of my Camino. And I realized, hey, wait a minute, I can actually finish this in 9 more days. And I'll be able to get home 3 days earlier. And I checked and rechecked and rechecked. I'm like, do I get the dates right? And I get this, and what's my pace have to be and all of this? And sure enough, I could do it. And I'm like, okay, this is awesome. So I spent an hour on the phone with Delta Airlines and changed my ticket. I got a ticket that would get me to Paris the night before the morning flight to the US. And I was excited. I called Carrie. She was excited. It's just like, yeah, hey, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish my journey 3 days early. But it also meant, wait a minute, how many days do I have that remain? And so all of a sudden, as we're in the midst of our journey, again, a very important practice for you to think about for your own life is, okay, how far have I come? Where am I at? And what do I want to do with the time that remains? And so stop and consider how you can do that in your own life. That would be a beautiful practice for you to do, to reflect. You can journal, you can do voice recordings, right? Whatever form it'll take, whiteboard it out. I do all of those things, and it can be very helpful in terms of helping you get a sense of, wait a minute, I actually want to do some course correction here to be able to make sure that in the time that remains, I in fact am going to be achieving these goals that I have for my life. So that actually became for me a theme as I started to reflect on, wait a minute, how am I doing on the goals that I set out to do? So if you go back to my first video, what am I doing on the Camino? Not the first one, but the one just before I started hiking, it was, I've got four goals. And I had a chance to evaluate those four goals and how I felt like I'd really done in relationship to them. The first one was that living that 10X life. I've talked a lot about that. And the things that were outlined in living that more ideal life, in fact, I've been doing. And so getting in better shape with all of the walking, losing weight because I'm eating so much healthier and in less. Time for prayer. Oh my goodness. Yes. So much more time that I've been actually praying for my family. And so detoxing from technology. Yeah. I'm spending so much less time on technology at all. And even though that it's something I feel like there's still some capacity there, some room for improvement when I'm down, when I'm in a hard, tired place, I will revert to using technology to get me across the goal line. So I still have some room for improvement in that. And then in the 10X life regarding the real estate work and ministry work I'm doing, right? In real estate, in ministry, it's doing what? I'm journaling, I'm writing. I'm producing videos that are, you know, being streamed on Facebook and YouTube and being turned into radio programs, my podcast. And it's like, yeah, that's my 10X life. That's exactly what I was intending to do. And it's all happening now. And these videos are going to be turned into a book along with my journal. So I'm writing a book on the Camino. So it's like, yeah, that 10X life is happening. Check. The second was that being a pilgrim, right? And being a pilgrim is walking a path of prayer and penance and reparation. And you've heard me share enough over the course of these 23 days. Here I am in day 24. Yeah, that has been a dominant theme and a dominant activity of my entire time. Check the box. And yeah, I've learned so much more as well, just about the reality of being a pilgrim and how that connects to our lives, which I've shared with you. So the third one is seeking his face. And that was connected to the Holy Face devotion, which emerged as a foundational reason for me to be here. And that's one that I feel like I'm in now. And I've got to be a little more patient, I think, with myself, because I don't think I've seen it emerge as fully as I thought it would. And so interestingly, I'm recording this on the day of the actual conference that was the reason why I came on I got connected to the Camino. I went to Tours in the first place, was a meeting about a conference that was going to happen. And I interviewed the priest, Father Lawrence Carney, and he was going to speak at this local parish, and I was helping out. And well, that's today. And so I feel like even though I've done some efforts around my own involvement in the Holy Face devotion, that has been a gap. And so I'm considering now in the days that remain, what am I supposed to be doing to close that gap, right? To achieve that purpose. And the last one is going up to the deep, right? St. Peter, Jesus preaching from the boat of his life. And I'm waiting for that miraculous catch. I journaled out the, 16 or 17 people that I've had these like meaningful, sometimes life-changing conversations with that involve the Lord and their own journeys. And I felt really good about that, but that doesn't strike me as the fulfillment of this shocking generosity of God manifested in a miraculous catch. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'd love to see what that is. I'm not sure. So in the days that remain, in this time of recovery with the days that remain, it gave me an even greater impetus to say, you know, go hard, go all in, no half measures. You've heard me use that phrase a few times. And so I'm stripping back even more the foods that I'm eating. Get rid of the bread, get rid of the potatoes, not potatoes are added in. And I haven't been perfect. It was one time I ate some bread and there was one time I ate some potatoes, no alcohol. That's worked. I haven't had any alcohol. Now I'm getting rid of sugars. I'm getting rid of sugars that are found in fruits. So I'm shifting out of fruits that carry a lot of sugars and replacing them with healthy alternatives, right? So not orange juice, an avocado, right? So not a nectarine, a tomato, right? So I'm eating more nuts, so to make sure I get protein, but I'm not having sugar. So it's like, okay, I'm wanting to add a level of rigor in the time that remains, because I'm so grateful to God and to Carrie, my wife, for the gift of being able to come away for this number of days, that I don't want to leave anything on the table. I want to just go all in and really live in a way that honors the Lord for the opportunity that he opened to me. And when he's invited me, go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch, I'm like, Lord, please reveal to me what that means, because I don't know exactly what that means on this trip, but I'm in. So please don't hold back. Bring me out into the deep and overwhelm me with that catch. I want to be astonished and fall at your feet, Jesus, like Peter did, and then follow you that much more profoundly. So that's my hope. There's my sort of my own reflections on that, on the recovery day of making a decision, reflecting that I'm going to come home. I want to live much more intentionally, even more vigorously, rigorously, with intentionality. And there's other things I can mention, but I'll leave it there.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, it's great to be with you all as I continue to share with you my reflections on walking the Camino. I'm in week 4 right now, and on this day, I had made the decision to push forward. I had spent the day before recovering from a dislocated ankle, and after stretching it, hobbling around and resting for a good day yesterday, I felt like, you know what, I can do this, but I shouldn't push it. I should choose a distance that is going to, again, move me forward without potentially putting me in like exacerbating or worsening the injury that was there. So again, learning that lesson early about respecting my body and not attempting to overdo it was an important one. Today, I'm going to talk about the importance of habits, the idea of establishing sort of habits in our lives, our customs, the way that we live our day-to-day life can be extremely important in our life of faith, right? So one of the things that is becoming more apparent, and I'll share a reflection on this later on, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But the way is the part of those three that I think we give the less attention to, the least attention to. And so developing a way of life has been a standard way in our Catholic tradition to grow in faith. You establish habits and patterns in your daily life to be able to actually advance in your life of faith. Well, the Camino is marked by a stripping down of the typical activities that are part of one's daily life. We literally go away from all of that in order to be able to focus. And for me, the focusing becomes quite a simple thing. And yet, the way that I've been walking this Camino, the custom that I have, is different than many, and maybe most. The most typical sort of pattern that I heard about, watched on videos, and experienced myself among the other pilgrims, among the other people that I would encounter on the Camino, looked something like this. This was their typical custom or their habit day to day. They would typically be getting up, you know, say 7:30, because sunrise in September would have been around 8 o'clock in the morning to 8:15, 8:20. As the Camino went on. So at this point, it's around 8:15 in the morning. So they'd get up in time to have a breakfast. Sometimes that would be a communal breakfast provided by the albergue or the dormitory type setting that they would be staying in. And then they would be up really at dawn, if you will, at sunrise, because you can see. And at many of these stages, when you are leaving a town, you are going to be moving out into wooded areas or paths that are not simply even and graded nicely, but can be difficult. I used that word treacherous before. And so it's one of those situations where you want to be able to see the path in front of you. So it's a very common thing that they would be getting up at and getting out at 8:15, 8:30 in the morning. And there's another reason why, is that for most of the folks who are traveling, they're going to be hiking for somewhere between, say, 4 to 6 hours. And so that means that the typical Camino route or stage is somewhere between, say, 10 and 18 miles, 10 and 18. That's a pretty big range, but in that range, someone will be able to get through the Camino in 33, 35 days, if they're taking rest days, closer to 40 days. And then they, as they're hiking, they would stop along the way, maybe at a midpoint, and sit down and have a coffee or even a fuller breakfast if they had a lighter one at the beginning. If they maybe just had a coffee and some juice at the beginning, they might stop halfway through and have a bit of a bigger breakfast. And then they'll continue on for another, again, few hours, taking a break along the way as needed. And when they arrive at the end, they are going to get set up at their next albergue, again, that sort of dormitory-style setting, where they would shower, do their laundry, get dressed, and then go have a more like a bigger lunch or a little sort of celebratory lunch, and have a beer or a glass of wine, and then be able to spend a couple of hours exploring the town and being able to see the sights, because there'd be some beautiful sights in each of these towns or along the way. Right? If along the way there was this old chapel or this old sort of famous historical site, they would stop there. They would get their traveling card stamped, things like that. Their credential stamped to prove that they were there. And then they would sort of rest up in the evening. There'd often be a communal dinner at these albergues,
where everyone staying there would gather together and have a meal, and there'd be conversation and get a chance to meet other people. After that, kind of get ready. You're in bed by, say, 9 o'clock, lights out, 10 o'clock, definitely silence, and sleep through the night, hopefully, and then up and rinse and repeat. So that was their typical schedule. Mine was a bit different. And I would say that the two dynamics that made mine different was that even though I was away from my family and away from my typical schedule, I still had work obligations in both the ministry work I was doing, such as things like making videos like this, and as well as doing real estate work, which was providing for my family. And I had two partner agents who were helping me with my the different clients that I was serving, buyers and sellers. But there was still lots of communication that I needed to have, and then a couple of other clients that I was just still serving myself. And so I would be needing to have set apart hours in the evening where I would be working 9 hours ahead of the people that I would be talking to. And so that meant that I was able to really start talking with them sort of like towards the mid to late afternoon into the evening. And sometimes those evenings would end. I think the latest I worked was after midnight, until after midnight, which was, again, still 3 p.m. back where I was. And so that was the first factor, was that I didn't have the same luxury as others to just simply say, I'm here just doing this. And so that impacted my ability to stay in dormitories or in these albergues, because I would have day-to-day work that I needed to do, and that meant I needed the space to be able to have these more extended conversations. And so that meant I would be staying in private rooms. Honestly, it also was just much more comfortable for me to be able to have my space to be able to shower and have a private bathroom and a private room. It was one of my limitations, and it was something that was going to serve me in a very practical way as well. The second thing was that the schedule that I had, the number of days that I had set apart to be able to do this, required me to finish the Camino in 34 days. The challenge being that that 34-day schedule had no break days in it. And seeing the number of miles that I would be going and hearing the guidance from these different channels that I followed, YouTube channels that gave me insight into the Camino, I thought, you know, it's going to make more sense for me to do something to build in break days. And the most practical thing I could do was walk longer miles. Because if I could walk a longer stage than the stage that was presented to me in this map out that I had that would get it done in time, and that map out had essentially 1 or 2 days maximum of buffer. So if something went wrong or if I really had to take a break, then I did have a buffer of 1 or 2 days at most to be able to stay on the standard trail hiking stage path and be able to make it. And however, I, as I was going along, I thought, you know what, I can do more than this sort of 10 to 18 mile stage path would be asking of me. And what that meant was getting up earlier and finishing later, starting the hikes earlier and finishing later than other people on the Camino, other pilgrims. And so so that's what I ended up doing. So I would, at my very earliest, left at 4 a.m, and you'll hear that story in a later stage. So I left once at 4 a.m, I left once at 5 a.m, I left a couple of other times at like 5:30, 6 a.m, and typically I was out by 7. The latest I ever left was at like 8 a.m. So I think I always left before sunrise. So I was always starting in the dark, And my typical day would be, I did walk a couple days at around the 10 to 12 mile mark, I think three different times in the course of my total Camino. And that was strategically chosen because of coming off of like an injury. I wanted to do a shorter stage. So that was the reason why I chose the smaller number of miles. And more typically, I would be walking 18 to 24 miles. So I was walking longer stages, again, to be able to build in rest days, as well as a couple of days I had to push longer than 24 miles. I will tell you the story of the days where I walked 29 miles one day and the next day 38 miles. So that was my longest day, was a 38 mile day, which it's a bit of a story, and you'll hear it in a future one of my future stages. So the custom that built in, the habits that built in to my day, was that I would be often leaving in the dark, and I would very rarely be walking with other people from the beginning. And that allowed me to be able to build in the custom of having a good 2 to 3 hours of silence, solitude, and prayer while I was doing the penance of the steps of hiking. The actual walking itself was the penance. And then the prayer was, I was praying 20 decades or more of the rosary. And you heard me talk about that. Well, as this habit started to get into my body, started to get into how I was living on the Camino, several things happened. I started to get stronger. And that was one of the things that I shared with you earlier, that one of the other people in the Camino shared, do you have an insight? And the other one was, yeah, remember, as you go along, you're going to get stronger. And it's true, I was getting stronger. I was losing weight because of how I was eating, especially now in these stages, as I was consciously incorporating more fasting or simplifying my eating by stripping out foods that were going to potentially keep the weight on, right? So getting rid of bread, getting rid of alcohol, getting rid of sugar, adding sugar, that is. And so just the whatever natural sugars were in fruits, and even eliminating fruits and orange juice that were very, very high in sugar, and going to fruits and options that had a lot less sugar in them. I was losing weight. I was gaining muscle. I was gaining endurance. And so the habit of walking these distances was growing in me. And the same was true regarding prayer. So you might think to yourself, goodness, I can't imagine praying for 2.5 hours. And how do you actually pray a rosary that lasts 2.5 hours? And, the answer was I would be praying less about finishing the 10 Hail Marys in a decade. And it was much more about praying for a particular child of mine or Carrie and focusing on that mystery of the rosary as it related to the life of that child. And that itself was so transformative. I had shared in an earlier reflection about how when I would be praying, I did it on a rotating basis. And so on Monday, Carrie had, say, for instance, the first two joyful mysteries, because I had 10 that I was praying for. In 20 decades, it's two a day, right? Two mysteries per family member. And so I'd pray for Carrie for the joyful, the Annunciation and the Visitation. And then the next day she would be the birth of Jesus and the Presentation, the third and fourth, and then the fifth and the first luminous mystery, et cetera. It was amazing how I would be able to like really hone in on this particular child for this particular mystery. And I would just stay in that mystery and with that child as long as it felt like I needed to. And I had the time. And so why don't I peacefully continue to pray for that child, for that mystery, until I get that inner sense that I can move on now to the next child and the next mystery. And so that's how it ended up expanding. And if I would end up sort of mindlessly going through a mystery, I told you what I did, I'd go back to the beginning and said, the Lord, you deserve better, and my kid deserves better. And so my routine was that I would be praying, you know, 20, 30, at least 20 Hail Marys for each of these kids, peacefully, slowly praying through for each of the mysteries. I say that very casually because it just got built into me. It became the habit. I do remember at times before this habit was more strongly established in me, and hear this, this is so important for you. As you're developing a way of life for your life, as a way of life for you, as you are doing the difficult thing, as you're doing the spiritual discipline that is asceticism, that it's a spiritual training for you, or it's going to bring about a mortification, a dying to yourself, you'll experience resistance. You'll experience a part of yourself that says, I don't want to do this. I'd rather do something more fun. I'd rather do something that was easier. And so whether that for me was, I want to sleep in. I want to sleep longer. I don't want to get up earlier and walk in the dark, especially when the weather's bad. Or getting outside, I don't want to pray for 3 hours or 2.5 hours by myself. I would rather talk to people or listen to a podcast or an audiobook or listen to or just, you know, again, I would let me leave in the sunlight and go with somebody else and sort of enjoy the day. And that's where the habit comes in to keep you moving forward. And so I would sort of smile at myself when I would be launching out for the day. I would start with that morning offering where I would offer to God the entire day, every step of it as an act of penance and prayer for my family to lead and provide and protect them. And then for other intentions, for the people that have asked my prayers, for the people that I've met on the Camino and had significant interactions with, as well as for souls that were near to death and far from God, right? So these were the ones that I was carrying with me and the ones I was doing this for. And so as I would do that and I felt this resistance, I just kind of smiled at it. I'm thinking, that's all you have, inner resistance? That's the strongest wall that you're going to put up to stop me from moving into my time of prayer. I'm just going to blow through this. I'm going to ignore the felt level, right? That's the flesh, right? The desire of the flesh was to do as easy and comfortable and soft and nice. And I'm like, that's not why I'm here. Right? It's easy in the context of the Camino to say, I did not come all the way to Spain to walk this path, to be away from my family, to do an easy thing. This is not why I'm here. And so in the context, that particular context, it was easier for me to just blast through that and just start praying. And sure enough, starting to pray the rosary and calling upon the saints that I would ask to intercede for me and accompany me in this rosary, the resistance just would just dissolve. It would dissolve, and the natural flow of entering into this time of prayer just came in. It reasserted itself. And so I share these things with you because right now, most of you, right, the incredible majority of you are in a life situation that involves some standard activities day to day. Now, those standard activities day to day are not likely going to be as focused and stripped down as walking the Camino. However, that doesn't mean that we can't pay attention to the opportunities that God is giving us to be able to establish healthy patterns for us regarding how we are going to walk through the Camino of our lives. How are we going to walk through the day-to-day pilgrim journey that is ours as we are on this journey towards heaven? We are seeking His face. And so our day today, your day today, is going to be marked by your opportunity, the opportunity God's giving you to grow in holiness and to fulfill your God-given mission, to become more fully the saint God intends you to be, as well as to do the things God intends you to do. So within the flow of the habits that God is going to give you, that God has placed in front of you, the day-to-day activities, right? The duties of your state in life is the traditional language. God is going to meet you there to give you the grace to grow in holiness. And so the first part of that I'm going to encourage you is establish that time where you're going to get up in the morning, where you have the window to pray. You have that window to pray peacefully. And that probably means extensively, not just a quick 5 minutes. If you're saying to me right now, Tom, I only have that quick 5 minutes in the morning because of the things I have to get done, then I say to you, great. Pick that time when you get up and you only have 5 minutes and say, when I wake up at this time and I get 5 minutes because of everything else that flows from that, what am I going to tell you? Get up 45 minutes earlier. Get up an hour earlier. And all of a sudden now, that excuse goes away because you now have that hour or that 45 minutes in front of, stacked up in front of the time that you've said, I only have 5 minutes and then I've just got to move through the things that are in my day. Well, the very easy thing to say, well, if I do that, I won't get enough sleep. Well, then what's my simple practical answer for you as well? Go to bed earlier. Go to bed earlier. And all of a sudden now you'll have the same amount of sleep and you'll be able to have that time for praying in the morning. Now, this is going to then bump up against another routine, but that means that I'm going to miss out on the routine things that I'm accustomed to doing later in the evening before I go to bed. And I want you to examine the trade-off, because I'm going to propose to you that if we examine those trade-offs, very often, the things that we're going to be letting go of later in the evening are probably not as valuable as having that time for quiet prayer at the beginning of your day. It's probably going to mean missing out on streaming some video series or watching a TV series or doing other things that, let's just say, have less spiritual value to you as you're walking your Camino life than the things that you're doing at the end of your day. Now, one last little proviso. Of course, if the last things you're doing just before you go to bed are also prayer things, you're examining your conscience, you're doing night prayer, then I'm going to say, okay, what are the things you're doing just before those things? Because you're going to eventually bump up against the things where, you know what, there's time that I have in my life that I'm going to need to make for God in order to establish a habit in my life that will allow me to go deeper into my life of faith with the Lord. So the other side of it would be to look in the morning and say, what are you actually doing in the morning that is that critical? And that says, if I can't get up earlier, well, what am I doing after I first get up? You might be spending an hour and a half at the gym, right, to get your workout in. Well, then it's going to be a matter of saying, how do I incorporate a spiritual dimension during the time of the workout? Like, I would get up and I would walk while I would pray. And it's going to be harder to actually exercise vigorously and pray at the same time. Not impossible, but more difficult. Or maybe you're going to say, well, I'm going to have to shift some other things around and maybe work out later in the day or work out a shorter period of time to be more efficient. But whatever you need to do, battle and fight for that establishment of a way of life, a custom of life that will allow you to see more clearly and simply these core focuses that will allow you to grow in holiness and fulfill your God-given mission. And it must begin with prayer. So whatever else we have in our lives that we're willing to do, let's make sure that they don't crowd out the value of taking a good, solid time of prayer in the morning. It will be your greatest spiritual fuel to live in a godly way and to be able to strip away some of those other things that are pressing in and crowding out a good prayer time with God. Hey, welcome to my day 26 reflection on walking the Camino. This is from Cacabelos to Vega de Valcare. The previous day, I'd done a shorter walk, as I mentioned, to sort of preserve my ankle. And Today I was going to be taking a bit of a longer walk, and so just getting launched, I'm going to tell you about a powerful encounter I had with a woman that I ended up walking a good portion of the day with, and a couple of themes that are going to be prominent in this reflection are the damaging impacts of pornography and healing, that the Lord desires healing for you, for your relationships, for your life, and how we ought not to miss out on the healing that the Lord has for us. So one of the areas of spiritual growth that happened for me on the Camino was the value, the meaning of the moment. What's at stake in a moment, and how God in his providential design provides these, I use the phrase divine appointments, these moments where he brings together two people in a way that standing apart is frankly a bit extraordinary. Like how, like the idea of a near miss versus the connection happened. And I saw this unfold so many times, and I'm going to promise you in a later reflection, I'm going to share with you how this is connected to Jesus being the way. I've already shared with you the idea that the road to Emmaus, Jesus comes and meets us on the way, but it's something even more profound than that, that Jesus is the way. Well, this ended up happening because, as I mentioned to you, one of the things that I'll typically do when I'm praying is I say, Lord, I give you my day. It's at your disposal. And I know that my custom that I just talked about in the last reflection is to spend the first 2.5 or 3 hours in prayer for my family. And then from there, I open myself to meeting with someone. Like, Lord, if you have somebody for me to meet with and walk with, bring it about, Lord. I say yes. I'm yes in advance. And so this particular day, I got up early. It was dark out, as in other days. Went downstairs, got a cup of coffee, and actually had my own breakfast, my own little healthy breakfast. I had an avocado and a tomato and a cup of coffee. So I'm getting rid of, again, I don't want to have potatoes in my eggs, the Spanish tortilla. I'm going to strip that out as much as possible and just end up with healthier eating. Okay, so finish that up and timing of it all, walk out the front door of the hostel, and literally as I take a step off the hostel into the street where the Camino continues the path, a woman walks and ends up walking like literally next to me. In those same seconds that I come off, she comes next to me. And so I had taken to the habit of if that happens to me, I'll just say something to them. I'll say buen camino. And the way they say buen camino back, I can tell almost assuredly if they are primary English speakers or Americans because of the accent with which they say back buen camino. You know, have a good walk, have a good way. And so she said, buen camino back. I'm like, okay, she's an English speaker. And so I just will throw out one more sentence just to see if there's any inclination to have a conversation and get launched together into that day. And so I said something like, it's great to get started early. And she said something back, and the tone of her voice was a little bit mixed. Like, there was a little bit of, okay, leave me alone, it's early. And then there was a little bit of, you know, I might have an openness to walk with you and talk with you for a little bit. And so I said something else. I don't remember what it was. I think I might have even said something like, oh, do you want to, you know, walk together for a little bit? And she said, yeah. And so we just started walking. And so Within, say, a half an hour, it got lighter. So we probably left, I don't know, 7:45, something like that. I don't know where she had started, but this is where I had started. And so we started to chat. And so easy, comfortable chat at the beginning. Where are you from? Well, come to find out, a couple of things just kind of jumped out. The first was that she was from Western Washington, and that's where I had spent 20 years of my life with my wife and had had our children and had raised our children until we had moved to Spokane about 5 years ago. And so it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And then it comes out that she's in real estate. I'm like, what? Okay, there we go. Another connecting point. So we start having that kind of conversation. So now there's like all these common things that we have together. And so so that kind of builds a basis for an ongoing conversation. And so as we're walking along and, you know, it's sort of a beautiful area, and we're continuing on, and we then come to the place where you eventually get to, which was, why are you doing this? You know, why are you walking the Camino? And I love asking those deeper, like, why questions. And really the question is, like, what's at stake? Like, what's at stake for you in this Camino? Like, why are you here? And she began to share a bit of her personal situation, that she had, she's now single again, having been separated and divorced, or finalizing a divorce with her husband, and is at a stage in her life where she's headed towards retirement. And so this is part of sort of the adventure of the next stage of her life, trying to get a sense of, in a peaceful way, not in a, like a stressful way, like, well, what's next for me in this adventure called life? So that was sort of her story. And I didn't probe and push into like those like more private matters, just acknowledged it. And then she asked me. And so I gave the entry point that was less specifically religious at the start, and that was that 10x life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you've obviously jumped into the middle of these reflections. You have to go all the way back to the first one on why am I walking the Camino. And so as I shared about this 10x life that I am installing into my life, or transforming into my reality, it was, again, fascinating. So many of the people that have heard me share about this just was so like taken with it, because I think in part it had resonance. It resonated with their circumstances for being on the Camino. It just gave them different language for it. And so as part of that sharing on the 10X life, what am I talking about? Well, I start talking all about this shift into doing more church work, more ministry work. And so as that part began to unfold, and I began to share more about the kind of work that I had done and I'm attempting to recover and go deeper into in my life, come to find out, she's Catholic. Come to find out, she was involved in a parish that I had done a tremendous amount of church work at. And then all of a sudden there's the, wait a minute, you're Tom Curran? And there was another one of these like recognition moments that, oh, I'm talking to Tom Curran, the guy from the church stuff. And so that allowed for a shift. That allowed for a way of relating to me that was based more now in a sense of, okay, I can trust him more deeply because I know of his reputation, the years that he's done this stuff. And so just this idea of I can trust you now allowed us to go to a much deeper level in the conversation. So she began to talk more about her own Catholic life of faith and how it was being stirred back into flame through coming on the Camino, and talked a bit about some meaningful Catholic moments that she had had on the Camino. And, I was very, affirming of those things and encouraging of those things. And then I said to her, hey, look, we have this wonderful opportunity to spend some time together. And one of the things that then came out of it was, hey, is there anything that you'd want to talk about? Like, okay, now that you know, or you're kind of like reminded of, you know, who I am, my background, and this opportunity that we have of walking together, is there anything that you'd want to talk about? Now, as this is going on, we're also walking this path, and there's a very interesting thing that happens on this particular stage. And the stage is that you can stay on the traditional Camino path, which is going to basically be run right along the valley, along the highway, through these two mountain range areas. But there's and basically your walk that day would be along a busy highway on the other side of a guardrail. And it would go on for, 10 miles. The alternative is to climb up this steep mountain, walk along essentially pretty close to the top of the ridge, and then go up and down a couple of times, and then make your way down, back down this steep descent on the other side. And she said, I want to do that. I want to take the alternative path. I want to take the road less traveled. I want to take the harder road. And it's more challenging. And I'm up for it. And she had shared with me some of the things she'd done in her past. One of the questions I love asking people is, name three things that you're really proud of. And so she had a chance to share with me a couple of like big things that she had done in her life that were really impressive. And so I was like, okay, let's go. So we started walking up this really steep, extensive trail. And it was, as we're starting this conversation, I said, what do you want to talk about? And I have to tell you, that road less traveled, right, was incredible. We had, honestly, I think I had probably the second most beautiful hiking day in terms of the views, the vistas that were accessed by us, only because we were willing to do this road that was less traveled, that was a more difficult, hard road. But in doing the willingness to do that hard road, we gained access to amazing views. And the beauty of this was the path was so often nice enough where I could not only walk the path, but have my head up and be able to appreciate the views while I walk the path. And that was that was so rare. Because other than really the first day, so often when we would face some of these incredible vistas, the only way to really take them in was to stop hiking, because the trail itself was so bumpy, rocky, and it was either loose rocks or big jutted rocks that would basically twist your ankle. And you had to be so careful that I had to be so careful that I had to keep my eyes down. And so it was either enjoy the view or protect your feet and in your body. So this was incredible from that standpoint of being able to enjoy the view while also hiking the path. And that also meant we could also have a meaningful talk. So, and I'll talk to you about tomorrow.